नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यानाम्ने गौरतिषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके, थैंक यू फॉर बीइंग हियर दिस सैटरडे इवनिंग। वेलकम बैक सुनीता मत्ता जी आफ्टर 3 months विद लिटिल चैतन्य। एनीबडी वांट टू शेयर एनी रियलाइजेशंस फॉर द वीक? If you have read something, heard something, you're on any practical realization before we start? You read something, heard something, any your practical experience? So I guess we should do this thing before we start. Everybody should share something, 2 minutes, little bit, to open up. Anything you liked, you heard, read, or you experienced anything, any realization. We used to do this thing earlier, long back. Everybody will share a little bit. So we'll go in circle one by one and everybody will share a couple of minutes. So it's good for us to reflect back actually. What we are hearing, what we are reading, and after chanting, any experiences.
I'm yet to start to chanting a lot.
Okay.
Somebody shared one video from Australia that this English person, they went to some land where cows and the land was hard, so they start doing some homa and whatever the homas, this khak.
They will put it in the
farm and then they grow the as a fertilizer kind of thing. And the land become very soft and every time they grow and then
so the crop was much better. Alright, so if nobody else want to share, we will start. I am quiet.
One, two. Only two apples.
Yeah. Dono hi damal mein jaake rakha hai. Hare Krishna. So, anybody want to take copy of Bhagavad Gita? Okay, I will keep one.
Cool.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
So we'll continue from chapter 2, text 20 onwards. So we read text 20 last time, few times we read just the text to become familiarized ourselves. And I mentioned there are few verses we should try to memorize, like very important shlokas. And this is one of them, 220 and 222. So we'll recite these shlokas first. So we'll recite from 220 up to 222, these three shlokas first, and then we'll go over discussion for these verses. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuyah ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. So we'll recite in a call and response fashion. न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूया अजो नित्य शाश्वतो यं पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Veda vinashinam nityam ya enam ajam avyayam katham sa purushah partha kam ghatyati hantikam. Veda vinashinam nityam ya enam ajam avyayam katham sa purushah partha kam ghatyati hantikam. O Partha, how can a person who knows that soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani tatha shrirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani tatha shrirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. Let's recite this one more time. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani tatha shrirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So we'll go over some discussion on these verses. So text 20, Krishna is again repeating the characteristics of the soul. And some of these characteristics already been described. And Krishna is just repeating some of those again to emphasize. So, because repetition is also sometimes necessary to drive the point home. And Krishna is again and again telling same thing. Soul is indestructible. Soul is eternal. Soul is unborn. It does not die when the body dies. So just to very clearly differentiate between the body and the soul. So again using the same word, na jayate mriyate va kadachin. It never takes birth, it never dies. It never came into existence at any time, will not come into existence, does not come into existence. It is eternal, ever existing and primeval. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. When the body is killed, the soul is not killed. So again, driving the point to Arjuna, you are going to kill, you think you are going to kill all these people in the battlefield. But rest assured that when the body dies, the living entity continues. So soul is unborn, it does not take birth. And all the different religions of the world have a concept of soul, and they have a different concept of soul in terms of its coming into existence. So what Krishna is saying here, he has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. So means in the past, there is no point of time we can trace back the history that at any particular time the soul took birth. And at present also, it doesn't mean that soul come into existence at a particular time, that soul takes birth. And never in the future will be any time when the soul come into existence. So now in the different religions, be it Christianity, Buddhism, Jainism, Hinduism, there is a different conception of soul. Some believe in the existence of soul, but does not believe in reincarnation. Some believe in the existence of soul, but does not believe in reincarnation. And some believe in existence of soul as well as reincarnation. So there's a different combinations. Now in Hinduism, in our Vedic culture, we believe in existence of soul and the reincarnation. And the concept of karma and reincarnation go hand in hand. We cannot separate karma from reincarnation, or we cannot explain the karma without a future existence or past existence. So in, let's discuss few other religion. In Buddhism, what is the concept in Buddhism?
Go to the state of nirvana.
What does that mean? So yes, there is a state of nirvana, means there is eternal life or moksha. But what is the concept of soul in Buddhism?
Shunya.
So they don't believe in soul, but they do believe in reincarnation. So without soul, what is the meaning of reincarnation? Because we say, okay, there is some living entity which gives up this body and then takes on new body. So, but if we don't believe in soul, but we say, oh, there is a next life after this. So who is going to the next life? Who is taking birth as, or taking, accepting a new body? So they say, it's just a, there is no soul, there is no living entity, it's just a consciousness. And the flow of consciousness continues. So consciousness continues and it accepts a new body. So we understand consciousness is itself because of the presence of soul. Right? Consciousness in itself is nothing. It's because of the presence of soul. The consciousness is spread throughout the body. So the soul goes to the next body, and with the soul goes the subtle body. What is the subtle body? Mind, intelligence and false ego, the false identification. So this continues. But in Buddhism, they don't believe in soul, but they think of consciousness. It's a stream of consciousness which continues and one takes a new body. What is Buddhism in itself? So how Buddhism came into existence? So Gautam Buddha,
when he meditated, he couldn't find anything. So that's when they decided that there is just
a... He didn't. It's not that he could not find anything. That he got enlightenment. So the point. Okay, let's discuss a little bit about that. So in Buddhism, what is the point mentioned is. So Buddha did not deny the existence of soul, or he did not deny the existence of God. Buddha focused mainly to bring people to the level of moral principles, to abide by the moral principles. So at that time, what was happening was, people were misusing the Vedic scriptures, or wrongly quoting the Vedic scriptures to justify their wrongdoings, that slaughter of the animals. Oh, it's mentioned in the Vedas that we should slaughter the animals as a sacrifice. So they were misquoting the Vedas. So Buddha said, okay, just don't even refer to the Vedas. Forget about the Vedas. Just focus on yourself. So his main purpose was to bring people at the moral standard. So he denied Vedas. And at some time, somebody asked Buddha, is the soul same as the body or is it different from the body? And Buddha kept quiet. Somebody asked, is there God? So Buddha kept quiet. So what was that? He did not want people to go to even metaphysical level. He said, okay, just focus on yourself first, on your basic moral activities. So that was his main purpose. And that's why, and he never denied the existence of soul or never denied the existence of God. But later on from Buddha, his followers, they brought up different philosophies. So they completely denied the existence of soul or the karma principle. Or the existence of God. It's all shunya. That everything is shunya. And ultimately one should get to nirvana state. So Buddhism in itself is a rebellious offshoot from the Vedic culture. From Hinduism. So in one sense is, they say, okay, Hinduism in Vedic culture, they believe in existence of soul. We don't believe in soul. In Hinduism, they believe in all these Vedas. So we separate ourselves from the Vedas. So from cultural point of view and from philosophical point of view, they separated from the Vedic culture. So in Buddhism, no concept of soul, as of now, what they believe in, no concept of soul, but there is reincarnation, that the consciousness continues. Now in Christianity, what is the concept in Christianity? They believe in soul, they have a concept of living entity, soul, but they don't believe in reincarnation. Reincarnation in the sense, they say there is only one life. So they believe in soul, and how, when the soul come into existence? At this particular birth, when the male and female unite, when the new baby is created, at that time the soul also takes birth. So the living entity comes into existence at that time, and if in this lifetime, if the living entity accept Jesus as the savior, so they get eternal life into Jannat. Otherwise, they are doomed for eternity into hell. So if you accept Jesus Christ as a savior, you have eternal life into heaven. Or if you don't accept him, you have eternal life in hell. So that is the concept in Christianity. Now in Christianity, actually, earlier there was the concept of living entity, the soul. There was a concept of reincarnation also. And there was a concept of karma also. In the Old Testaments also. Like before the 5th century. So in 5th century, based on the Roman Empire. So at that time, when the Roman king, when the Roman kingdom accept Christianity as the base religion. At that time, Christianity grew. Before that, Christianity was not into much existence. Like Christians were being prosecuted earlier. So when the Roman king accepted Christianity as the religion, then it spread. Like even our Buddhism also. So in Buddhism, when did the Buddhism spread? When Ashoka accepted Buddhism as the religion for his kingdom. So then he did a lot of missionary work to spread Buddhism. So in history, you can see Buddhism, Christianity, all that. When somebody as a who is in power at that time, when they accepted that particular religion, then it spread manifold. So in Christianity earlier, there is a concept of living entity. There is a concept of reincarnation also. And there is a concept of karma. How is that? In Bible, there is so many statements. As you sow, so shall you reap. So what does that mean? That is karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. Whatever you do, you get the result based on that. And there was many other instances when Jesus Christ, so there was a blind person. So one blind person was there and Jesus Christ asked, what is the cause of his blindness? Is it something in the past he has done wrong? Or is something his parents has done wrong? What is the reason of his blindness? So what does that mean? He is pointing out, maybe he has done something wrong in his previous life, because of which he had to come into this situation. So, but he did not focus too much on mentioning about this karma. What his purpose for this whole incident was, to show the power of God. Said, I can cure this person. So with his mystic power, he cured the person from his blindness. So the focus of this whole pastime was not to stress too much on karma, but to show the grace of the Lord. But he never denied, again, the karma principle or the reincarnation principle. So like that, there are so many of things about concept of this. And when the Roman Empire accepted Christianity as their sole religion, at that time they said, give them one life or eternity in hell. Otherwise, they will not be abide by the moral principle. So if there is a concept, their understanding, also if there is a concept of next life also, some people may try to do good just to get a better life. And some people may take it very lightly, or we'll see in future. Who cares? So give them one life or give them eternity in hell. So that was the concept forced. At that time, it became as a mainstream. Oh, there is only one life. If you accept Jesus as a savior, you go to eternity in heaven. If you don't accept him, you are doomed for hell. Now, there is some flaw in this philosophy. And if you ask any preacher in Christianity, they cannot answer that. What is the flaw in that? Before Jesus also, people existed. So what was happening before Jesus Christ? Was everybody just going to hell? Because Jesus Christ came only 2000 years back. And life has existed for thousands and thousands and millions of years back. So before Jesus Christ, what was happening? So everybody was going to hell, it means. And another problem with this, they say life is created, the soul come into existence when mother and father unite. At that time, when the baby is there, the soul also is born. And what is Krishna saying here? It never took birth in the past, does not come into being now, will not come into being in future, it ever existed. It's unborn, eternal, primeval. So, the another flaw with that philosophy is, what happened for the child who is aborted? So the soul is created when parent, father and mother unite. So if the baby is aborted, what happens? He is doomed for hell, because he never got the chance to come into this world and even understand Jesus Christ. So is he doomed for hell without even understanding anything? And some of the other people, they have a philosophy, oh, soul come into existence at a particular time. Before that, if you abort the baby, there is no problem. So actually, the soul, the first day, when the male and female sperm unite, the sperm and the ovum mix, the soul itself enter through the male sperm into the mother's womb on day one. And that's how from day one, the baby start growing in the womb of the mother. It's not that baby, so how the baby otherwise come for 3 months, how that flesh will grow up to 3 months also. So this is whole wrong philosophy. People, just to justify the act of abortion, they say, oh no, no, it's not a problem, it's just a tissue. So at up to a certain 3 months or 4 months, it's just a tissue. It's okay to abort it. And there are so many debates, even in India also, in parliaments and all. And in the Western world, all the politicians, they have different philosophies. One person will say, oh, I will stop abortion if you bring me into power. Other person will promise, oh, this is okay, you can keep doing. So one person promotes sense gratification. Other person want to abide by the religious principles. There is always clash among the politicians. They want to capture their own bank balance based on the different sort of people. So in Christianity also, there is concept of soul, there is concept of reincarnation. Earlier it existed. Now they believe in only one life.
But that is in New Testament, it's
one
life, right?
In New Testament, yes.
Yeah. But still some people believe the Old Testament,
yes.
And they have the church.
In Christianity, you know, there are how many different varieties of Christianity also there?
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many different sectarians within Christianity.
Yes, yes.
And some completely believe we should be vegetarian. They don't eat non-veg.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely believe in existence of soul and the concept of karma and reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And some completely deny all these. And for them, Jesus is the savior. If you accept him, you're all set. No matter, you keep doing all nonsense. So their philosophy is Jesus died for us. So he gave his life for us. So if we accept him as a savior, that yes, he died for us, we are all set. So Prabhupada, when somebody asked him, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, yes, we believe in Jesus Christ. He is our guru. Because when people say Jesus is the way, earlier they used to claim Jesus is the only way. Right? They used to say Jesus is the only way, that if you don't accept Jesus, you are doomed. So, Jesus is the way. Prabhupada said, yes, that is true. Because Jesus is like a spiritual master. In our Vedic scriptures also, there is so much stress of accepting a spiritual master. Because spiritual master is the one who can take us, show the path to God. Without the help of spiritual master, we cannot attain Krishna. So, Guru is the way. And we put Jesus Christ in the position of Guru. So, in Christianity, if they accept Jesus Christ at least as Guru, so he is the way to take us to the God. And Jesus Christ himself never claimed himself to be God. He said, I am Son of God. So as a living entity, we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are all sons and daughters of Krishna. So in that way, yes, Jesus Christ is also Son. He is one of the best Son because he is trying to preach the message of God, to bring people closer to God. So, coming back to our discussion here, Krishna is stressing so much on the characteristics of soul. It never takes birth, it is eternal, it never comes into existence at any point of time. And in the next verse, then Krishna says, how can the soul, because soul is indestructible, unborn and immutable, how it can kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Now this is again very similar to what was said in 19 text also. Text 19 also, something similar was there, which was, for the self slays not nor is slain. So the living entity does not die or does not cause anybody to die, does not slay anyone. Same here Krishna is repeating how the soul can kill anybody or cause anyone to kill. So he is again stressing Arjuna. You fight, you do your duty. You should not be bothered about that or you are killing them. Now again, the question comes, is it supporting killing others, killing other living entities? So does it justify that, oh, I can just go kill anybody? Anyways, he is not the body, he is the soul. What if I'm just killing his body, what is the problem? He is never going to die, he will take another birth. So does it support whimsical killing?
No.
So it does not say whimsical killing. It is again for the principles of religion. If somebody has to, while doing, executing his duty, he has to harm somebody. So that sort of harming others' body is acceptable. And Prabhupada gives very nice examples in the purport. So one example is given of a surgeon. A doctor, while doing a surgery, it may seem like for a unknown person, it may seem like if somebody sees the doctor putting a knife in the body of a person, making a big hole, he may think, oh, he is hurting him. But what is in actual sense, what is he doing? He's trying to cure the person from his disease. So while operating, the person may die also. So in the effort to save the person, he may die. But at least doctor was trying to save him. Another example is the judge, when he gives punishment to the criminal. Now the person, somebody may say, oh, see how cruel the judge is. He is killing that person. But the judge is punishing him to get rid, to cure him of his sinful reaction. So earlier there is a justice of peace. And in that, somebody may be sentenced for death. Right? Hang till die. Even the olden time, king will punish the criminal to kill him or to make him die or to hang him. Earlier it was like the concept of suli. It's a little different from what we say hang. Suli's concept was different. It was, there is a very sharp needle kind of a big thing. This is, they will put the person on the top. So with the gravity, with the weight itself, the person will be piercing through that shul. So that is called suli. Now we use the concept of hang. So the principle was, if that person is given the punishment in this lifetime for his sins, so he will be get rid of all that sinful reaction. So he does not have to suffer in his future life for this bad deed, wrong deed. So if the judge is giving the punishment, it is for his betterment, to get rid of him for his sinful reaction. But now, it has become a big issue, all the human right thing. We make a big fuss out of this. And people say, no matter how bad the person may be, how many crimes he may have committed, killed so many people, when it comes to punishment, they will make a big hue and cry, oh, you should not sentence him to death and all that. Give him maybe some few years of punishment and give him this chance, that chance.
Life imprisonment.
And in life imprisonment also, they want to be very sensitive, to be very tolerate, or let him, give him some chance to rectify himself and let him come out again. So if the person is not sentenced now or not punished now, he has to suffer it for his wrong actions in the future. And that may multiply manifold. Right? The reaction will, he may have to suffer a much bigger reaction. So this concept was here also, when Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight on the principle of religion, it is for the other people's benefit, that they will get rid of their sinful reaction. So the people, whoever were noble throughout their life, they don't have any concern anyways, any fear. They will go to the heavenly planets, like Bhishma, Drona. So in general, they have done all noble acts, pious acts. There were a couple instances where they did not stood up. They did not stand up to protect
the honor of Draupadi
or to not let them go into the forest for 13-year exile. So there were some instances where they did not stand up to protect Pandavas. But apart from that, in general, they were very pious people. So when you are destroying their bodies, they will get rid of their little whatever reaction they had and they will go to heavenly planets. And the other people who have done many nasty jobs, nasty things, anyways, they deserve to die. They deserve to get their reaction. So one should not be fearful in executing his religious principle, but it does not support whimsical killing. It's not that I go and slap somebody and tell him, oh, he may have done something wrong, I'm just an instrument to punish him. So we are not in that position to judge somebody or to punish somebody. If we were at that position, if you are in a position of a judge or something, yes, you can take the bank balance of that person's activity and then give the judgment based on that. But it's not that just any random person, I can go and shoot him down. Like in Islam also, or the jihad concept. They say, oh, we are fighting for Allah. So we can fight, we are fighting for Allah, we can kill anybody who does not believe in Allah, we kill them. So that is whimsical killing. It's not that they are fighting for religious principle. The jihad, what does that actually mean? What is their ultimate motive?
Kill the non-believers.
Kill the non-believers, but who gave them the right to kill them? They are judging that they are the non-believer. That is whimsical killing, not at the orders of God. And on the more, what is their motive behind that? Because they have been brainwashed into thinking that when you see, there are a lot of suicide bombers, okay, or people who are ready to give up their life on the name of jihad. And what is the brainwashing done for them? You are doing this thing, you are doing it for Allah. If you die in that, you will attain Jannat. And in Jannat, you will be able to enjoy 73 versions. So when you die, you have that pleasure.
A better life.
A better life in Jannat, enjoy with 73 versions. And here, when you are fighting for Allah, they are getting the financial support. See, your families, they will live peacefully with no problem, financial problem or anything. So they are promised for so much of financial gain in this lifetime, and in next lifetime or in the future, eternity or the pleasures with the virgins. So what is their motive behind doing all that nonsense thing? It's ultimately sense gratification. Not the love of God which is making them do this thing. It's the love of those virgin girls which is making them do this thing. So there's so many hodgepodge. People quote the scriptures in a wrong way to justify their activity. So here Krishna says, as the living entity gives up the old body. We were in text 21. So the living entity does not kill anybody or does not cause anybody to kill. So you should not be concerned about that, or you will facing the sinful reaction. Because you are fighting for the religious principle, there is no reaction for you to face. But if you don't fight, when you don't do your duty, then there is sinful reaction. So Arjuna was concerned, if I will fight, then I will get sinful reaction. But Krishna is saying, if you don't fight, then you will get sinful reaction. Because if you don't do your duty, as a Kshatriya, he is in a position to bring peace in the world. And if you don't do your duty, you have to suffer. Like all these politicians in the current world. What is their job? To maintain peace and harmony in the world. But they themselves become the cause of disharmony and big riots. So rather than bringing peace, if somebody is bringing the crime in the society, he has to suffer. Actually, the leader or the ruler, he takes the sinful reaction of their citizen also. So in the olden times, if the king is not pious, or if he is not ruling properly, if the citizens are also, if in his kingdom any citizens are doing any wrong activity, king takes a 50% credit of their sinful reaction. This is as per our Vedic scriptures. So we can see the situation of all these politicians. So they are the ruler and they are supposed to take care of the citizen. So in their time of rule, if the citizens are not behaving properly, doing the criminal activities, they have to get their reaction also. So we can see where they will fall. Where they will end up, all these politicians. So first of all, they themselves do so much of criminal activities or sinful activities. So they have to suffer for their crime itself, their sinful activities. On top, all the citizens. So it's a big balance of karma. For how many lifetimes, we cannot even imagine. So moving on to the next text, Krishna says, Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. As a person puts on new garments, giving up the old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So here, the concept of reincarnation and a little about karma, as a little trailer about karma is explained in this verse. So how is that? So in our life, we have the experience, as our clothes become old or little torn out, we give up those clothes and we get on new clothes. So as the living entity in this lifetime gives up the old clothes and put on the new clothes, so same way the soul, the living entity who is residing within this body, he gives up the old and useless body and accepts a new body. Because this body is what? It's like clothes for the soul. Right? This body is like a covering for the soul. So as we give up the external covering on the body and put a new covering as a new clothes, so same way the soul gives up this old and useless body. So as the person grows old, this body is useless. His body starts giving so many problems. It's hard to walk, hard to sit, hard to eat, hard to see, hard to hear. So all these problems start coming, all the disease and whatever comes with the old age. So the soul giving up the old body accepts a new body. Now this is, Krishna is explaining, giving a little glance into the concept of reincarnation and karma. So when somebody is dying, we should not be so much concerned about, oh, he is living and he is going to die and he will be separated from us. So yes, it's not an easy transition, but we don't have to make it too hard transition also. Because the soul does not die. If we have that clear understanding, we should know that, okay, this person is going to get a new life. And maybe that new life will be better situation than where he is right now. If somebody is in a very diseased condition. Now, if his disease is cured, will you be happy or sad? Happy. So, if somebody is in a very much diseased condition, he is giving up this body and he is getting a fresh youthful body, a new body. So, it's like getting rid of all his problems for now and accepting a new body. So, should we be sad or happy?
Happy.
So, in that sense, if we have that understanding, one should be happy. So, yes, it's not easy to give up our ties with somebody, but we should not make it too hard also with the clear understanding. So that's why when somebody, elderly person, is about to die, say we should make his transition very smooth and easy, help him get a better situation. And how we can help him? To make him remember Krishna, to chant the holy name, to do certain things which can help him get rid of his bodily designation or bodily attachments. So that's why when in our community, in our circle, somebody is in a deathbed, somebody's parents, or even in any situation of life, somebody is in a deathbed situation. So what we do is chant the holy name, read Bhagavad Gita, so that he can remember Krishna, remember the words of Krishna, and then have a smoother transition, have a better destination. If not at all, go back to Krishna immediately, at least get into a better situation where he can continue his journey towards Krishna. So the chanting of holy name is very, very powerful for a person, for everybody in general, and somebody when somebody is about to die. So in that situation, at least they're able to focus, because the hearing sense is the last sense to go. So among all our senses, seeing, hearing, taste, touch and all that, when somebody grows older and older and older, even on a deathbed, the sense of hearing is the last one to go. Somebody may stop responding, like moving his hands and arms, but they are able to hear. They may not be able to speak. So the hearing sense, even doctors say, hearing sense is the last one to go. So in that state also, somebody may be in a situation of coma. But in that situation also, the holy name is entering in their ears and they are able to hear. So, as the living entity puts on new garments, giving up the old and useless one, the soul gives up the old and useless material bodies and accepts a new one. Now, how does that happen? Somebody may ask, what kind of new body will I get? Who decides? Right? So who will decide what type of body will I get? Can I choose? So there are 8.4 million species of bodies available. 8.4 million species or different type of dresses. Like when we say type of dresses, it's not that 8.4 million different saris. Different varieties of clothing available. So it may be jeans, maybe sari, it may be skirt. So like there are different varieties of bodies available. And one can get anyone out of that. So who decides what type of body will I get? Can I choose? Does it depend only on my desire?
Yes. depends a bit on your desire as well, right?
Like, yes. So, it's a combination of, so there is a 2D, desire and deserve. So, what we desire as well as what we deserve. Only desire is not going to decide. Somebody may desire. In next life, I want to be born in the house of Tata Birla, Ambani's. So, can my desire only, can I be born in a millionaire's house? So, it's not just based on desire, it's based on what I deserve also. If somebody is living in a 3-bedroom apartment and he is not able to pay the rent, so basically he doesn't deserve to live in that 3-bedroom apartment. He has to move down, maybe to 2-bedroom or single bedroom. What he can afford, what he deserves. One may desire, I want to buy a Ferrari. But now just based on my desire, I can go to the showroom. Oh, I desire to be a Ferrari. Can you give me a Ferrari? No, show me what is in your pocket. Right? What you deserve. What kind of bank balance you have. So same way we have a bank balance of karma. So based on that bank balance, what we really deserve and then what we desire, if both things match, then we can get it.
They say, I think even in Bhagavad Gita, right, when you chant the holy name, like when you're going about to die, like you don't really take a birth again. So
right. So that is a completely different state.
Okay.
Here we are talking about within this life, if somebody may do a lot of pious activities in pious activities, so based on that, somebody has a lot of karma balance. So doing good activity and doing wrong activity does not cancel out. It's not that how I can maintain a notebook, write out every my good activity or bad activity and cancel out. And at the end, see I have five good activities left. Based on that, I should be getting something better. So good and bad does not cancel out each other. We have to get the reaction of our good activities, good deed we did, and we have to suffer based on the wrong activities we did. So because somebody may have done a lot of nice activities, so he gets something in return as a good reaction. Somebody may have a nice house, lot of wealth and all that, but he may have done something wrong activities because of which all some sufferings also come in between. Somebody may get some disease, even though he is very freaking rich. But he may get some disease. So, the reaction of good and bad, both we have to get. So, based on that, one will get to the next life also. Terminating the cycle of birth and death completely, that is completely a different stage. When we are completely free from this cycle, this bad and good reaction. So, we'll discuss that in much more detail later, when we come to 247 also and 3rd chapter, 4th chapter, the karma principle in more detail. So here Krishna is just giving a very brief glimpse into the concept of reincarnation and karma. Another example is, to understand this, somebody may go to market. So let me take the example of Mataji's. So they want to buy some nice cloth. You go to market. So now, you may desire a particular type of cloth. Oh, I want to buy a sari, Kanjivaram sari or a whatever silk sari or whatever type of sari. Now there are so many different varieties. It may be from 200 rupees to 10 lakh rupees, different varieties of sari. So one may desire a particular type of clothing, but what type of exact sari you will buy based on how much you have in your pocket. If you have only 2000 rupees, you will get a sari which fits into that budget. So same way, we may get out of all these 8.4 million species of life, a particular type of body which fits into based on our desire and deserve. There is a very nice story, Prabhupada used to tell one story. Once a mouse, he was chased by a cat. So being chased by a cat, he came in front of a sadhu. This Chaz, I am very scared of this cat. She is chasing me. She wants to eat me. Please make me cat. And the sadhu said, Tathastu. So this mouse transformed into a cat. So now this cat, he is not fearful of cat anymore. But now a dog is chasing. So again comes in front of the sadhu. See, I'm scared of this dog. Dog is chasing me. Please make me a dog. Sadhu said, tathastu. He became a dog. So now a dog, he is roaming in the forest. Lion started chasing. So he's again running. Lion is chasing. Comes in front of the sadhu. See, I'm very scared of this lion. He is chasing me. Please make me a lion. So sadhu said, tathastu. He becomes a lion. Now this lion is standing in front of the sadhu, looking at the sadhu and opening his mouth to devour the sadhu. Like, I want to eat you now. You are my food. So sadhu say, mushka bhava. Again become a mouse. So this is our situation. We keep going from one lifetime to another to fulfill our desires. Somebody has a particular desire to enjoy in a particular way. Somebody want to enjoy eating flesh. Okay, take a suitable body where you can enjoy eating flesh. No restriction. So become a beast. Somebody want to enjoy swimming in the water. Why human body? Human body is not suitable to swim in the water. Very much, lot of limitations. At the most, how long you can stay in the water? Half an hour, 1 hour, wear the swim costume and all that. Get a body suitable for staying longer in water. Be a fish or a whatever type of a
aquatic species.
You want to fly in the sky? You have so much desire to fly in the sky. Flying in aeroplane, it's all limited and spend so much money. Freely want to fly in the sky, be a bird. So based on our desires, whatever way we have the consciousness developed, we get that type of body. So this keep going on and on and on. So we give up one type of body, accept another type of body. Any other point somebody want to mention? Because this is a very long topic. This particular, so much discussion on this topic. We haven't even entered into karma principle into so much detail. It's just a very briefly we are discussing.
I think I just remembered the story of Dhritarashtra. Like, I think he had acquired like some sin, like by killing 100 birds or something.
Right.
And
right.
He didn't take birth immediately.
No. So the story is Dhritarashtra, when all his sons died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was so morose and he asked Krishna, why me? Why all this happened to me? First of all, I was born blind. What I did to get this situation that I was born blind? Then I got 100 sons and all the 100 sons got killed in the war. So why it happened to me? What did I do to deserve this? So Krishna said, you are looking into only this lifetime, that what did I do to deserve this? But I can see your past, present and future. I can see your past hundreds and hundreds of life. So 100 lives back, you were the son of a hunter. And as a child, you climbed onto a tree, and on the tree there was a nest. And the bird had laid the eggs. So the eggs had hatched and there were some baby birds there. And in your playing spirit, you put fire to that nest. So all the male and female birds and all the baby birds, they were roasted alive in that fire. Now first of all, actually, what is there? So I forgot to mention one point. So you poked a needle, a sharp object into the eye of the father bird. You make him blind. And then you put fire to the nest, burning everybody alive in the fire. So you had to get the reaction of that. So Dhritarashtra said, okay, if I did something wrong, why not then and there? You should have finished the quota there. You should have punished me right there in that lifetime. So Krishna said, you have to come into that same situation to experience the equal pain. So that's why you were born blind, because you made somebody blind, so you were born blind. And in that nest, the 100 baby birds died. So you had to get to become eligible first to get 100 sons. So in your last hundreds of life, in the next life, you did some pious activity to become eligible to gain 100 sons. Now you got 100 sons and now you are getting the reaction that all your 100 sons are killed in the fire of this war. So something happens, it's hard to link it with the activity. Like, oh, what did I do? So that's why And people quote this thing, oh, why this happened to me? Why me? Why is it happening to me? In my whole life, I've been a very good person. Why did it happen to me? So that's why this question comes. But we have to not just look into this particular lifetime. Krishna knows better. He knows all our past, present and future. Knows all our history. Where, what we did. And when, where we will get the reaction. So this topic itself, it's a long topic. Why do bad things happen to good people or vice versa? So the 7-session series we are doing started on Fridays. So that's one of the topic in that series. So we discuss in a much longer detail with very systematically to understand the points. So for today's discussion, anybody has any other point for these verses we discussed today?
I have something else, you know, about...
Any question, comment?
Not out of the... It is out of context, actually. Whatever you said about the Jesus question and all that, right?
Okay. We can discuss that later.
Okay.
While maybe taking prasadam, we can discuss all that. Anybody has any question for these shlokas we discussed? Any point, any comment?
So in India, a lot of, mosquitoes we kill or the cockroaches. So do we... The reaction comes for everything.
Now, mosquito killing, see, generally, to keep the environment safe, for our protection, if somebody is doing certain thing to protect himself, in that activity, he does not get the reaction. Because there are 5 type of aggressors, which one can kill and does not get the reaction. And one is that if somebody is trying to harm you, and to protect yourself if you kill. Let's say now if a mosquito is sucking your blood sitting there and you try to push him aside. In that activity, when you push him aside, so if he dies, so you are trying to protect yourself, right? So in that activity, you don't get a sinful reaction. So same way in cockroaches and all that. If it's becoming a health hazard for you, so and we are trying to protect ourselves in that situation, then you don't get a reaction in that way. And in that way, again, it goes to our next step also. If we are doing that activity in remembrance of Krishna, that, oh, please forgive me, I am doing this, I have to do this to protect the environment around me, so that I can do my activities peacefully. Let's say you want to do your meditation, chanting, and there are so many bugs around you, and you don't know when somebody will come, some mosquito will come and bite you, when some ant will come and bite you. So you want to clean your environment. And while cleaning your environment, you may end up harming some other living entity. So that in that principle, what my understanding, I'm just telling from my understanding point of view here also, we can put this question to some more advanced person who can explain it more better. But in journal, person who is trying to follow spirituality, he is very careful to even harm an ant. Even while walking or something, you don't even want to harm an ant. But in general, when you are driving, you don't know how many ants or bugs or something are coming on the under your tires. Right? So in that, while you are doing, there is no way you can do anything about that. So all we can do is, that's why remembering Krishna is very important. At every step, so that you are not getting the sinful reaction, or you can at least atone for that. So if somebody, some bird comes and hits into your car and dies, it's, first of all, it's not your mistake, but even if it happened, we can still do some chanting for the benefit of that bird who left the body, for our benefit also. Even I asked the same question once to Rompad Maharaj. My question is a little different. You are talking about the ants and mosquito and bug. I was asking about the trees, the bushes or the lawn, the grass. So we do lawn mowing. We do trimming of the trees and bushes and all, right? To put them into shape or something. So my question was, oh, we are hurting. There is a living entity in that also. So we are hurting them. So is there a reaction in that? Should we be doing that or not? Say if you are trying to beautify the garden for the pleasure of Krishna, there is no harm in that. You are not destroying the living entity. You are trimming them, like you go for a haircut. So you are cutting out your hair, extra hairs. You are cutting out your nails. So to become more presentable in front of Krishna. So same way if you have a garden and your house for itself belongs to Krishna. So you are beautifying your garden for the pleasure of Krishna. And in that you are doing that activity, so it's justifiable. Another example to go another level is there is a lot of weed. So in the ground, so we pull the weed. So in that way you are killing the living entity. So should we be doing that or not? So that activity is also justified, because if we don't take out the weed, unnecessary plants, it will take up the space for the necessary plants, which are more meaningful. And it will take the nutrients which could be used for the actual plant's growth. So the activity of taking out the removing of the weed is justified. And Krishna himself gives the example. As a farmer removes the unnecessary weeds so that the crops can grow. So same way all these Kauravas which is assembled here in the field of Kurukshetra, these are like the weed. So this weed need to be removed so that the religious principles can be established. Any other question, comment? Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll do one round of chanting as we did last time also.